Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Former NPR host, author, and educator Faraya Chideya will be joining us in a few minutes after we go behind the headlines with a man who's received a lot of local media attention this week. St. Louis School Superintendent Dr. Kelvin Adams is being considerable credit for guiding the district's return to full accreditation. Accreditation was suspended by the State Department of Education almost 10 years ago, but was restored this week. Dr. Adams joins me by phone. Dr. Adams, congratulations. This is really a big deal, isn't it?
It is a deal. How big it is determined by the persons who kind of look out at it. We're glad that we're here. We know we still have a lot of work to get done. And it's a milestone in a lot of ways, but, you know, it's something that we expected to happen at some point in time. Glad it happened now, but it means that we put a period behind this chapter and just continue to move on and do what we have to do to support kids.
Well, we've been talking about this for a long time. What is actually the importance of full accreditation to the system, to the kids, and to the city?
You know, that's a really good question. I was asked that question by somebody just recently. I think from a kid perspective and from the staff's perspective and the city perspective, it's a sense of accomplishment. We don't get any more money. The requirements that the state holds us to are basically still the same. But what it does do, I think it says accomplishment. It's kind of like you check a box off that things to do list that you have, and this is at the top of that things to do list. And I think it's saying that we are making progress and growth in ways that the district has not done for, I guess, since the year 2000. So I think it means something symbolically, probably much, much, much more than anything else in terms of what we might receive. And also means that the watchful eye of the state, while still there, is not as critical is the wrong word, because the state has provided a lot of support, but it's not the same kind of watchful eye. So I think that's what it really means.
Well, also, I have to think, and certainly this has been discussed, that while the system has been in this kind of in limbo position for the last several years, it's hurt the city because a lot of people are curious about, you know, not curious, but concerned about bringing children into the system and moving into the city and bringing business into the city, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the governor, the leaving governor, Governor Nixon, says that, as well as the mayor as well. I think there have been some, you know, businesses or persons who come to the city and say, unaccredited, what does that mean? And you have to explain that. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's an economic issue as well. Some 22 to 30,000 kids in the city of St. Louis, I can now say they're in an accredited district, and I think it says something to the community and businesses and persons who are interested in doing business in the district. You know, a higher graduation rate means that you have a better workforce, more kids going to college. I mean, that those kids are better prepared to support the business in this community. Families feel better about being in the city and staying in the city. So from a tax basis, I think all of those things in some small ways and maybe in some large ways are impactful enough to say that this is a big deal.
Does it mean that anything is going to change now within the system itself? I mean, obviously, there's pride in the things you've just been talking about and having this full accreditation, but what really changes?
You know, from our perspective, we continue to do the same thing that we've done. We're still pushing really hard to make sure that every student reads and every student has a maximum opportunity in every single way. And so we've been working really hard to, you know, align our curriculum in ways that make sense for the district, for the state, and for testing, and also for academic achievement for kids. So I think from an inside perspective, not much really changes. From an outside perspective, it means that we are equal to 510 other school districts, I think, in the state, 509 rather in the state. So, you know, from our perspective, it doesn't change much. I think from the state's perspective, they're still concerned about what happens in St. Louis City around public education. And so the level of support that they provided us, I think they continue to provide us, maybe just a little bit differently. What we have had to do in the past is obviously go to the State Department of Education and do a series of reports over a period of time. Over the last 10 years, I think we reported to them two or three times. Normally, districts that are not unaccredited or provisionally accredited don't have to do that. We had to have a real detailed plan around what we were doing. While we still have a plan, that plan is not as monitored as much as it may have been in the past. So I think that's what it really means. But I think from the person sitting outside, you know, passing by a school building or coming into a school building, they won't see anything different than what they've seen before.
My understanding is that the restoration of the accreditation highlighted such things as improved test scores, attendance, graduation rates, governance, finance. These are all things that are important to the successful management of the system. But still, apparently, from what I've read, it's the system is not quite the district's not quite up to snuff on academic standards. That surprised me a little bit that that has not been achieved.
Well, it's about growth. The way the state looks at districts is they look at growth, and so obviously, spending some 15 years in an unaccredited status, the academic achievement of students was nowhere near that where it needed to be. But every single year, there's been growth that's taken place, and so it's kind of like a person starting a race 100 yards behind the person's at the starting gate, and so that's where we were, and so we have a lot of room to catch up. And so we're putting systems in place for it to happen. But the state is really recognizing that we've made that kind of progress, that we've grown every single year. And we're at a position right now that we are, what is called, if you want to call it basic as opposed to exceeding, that's kind of where we are. Not every single school. We have something like 59 out of 74 of our schools that if you counted them as from the state standard as accredited or provisional accredited, they would be at that standard when 4 or 5 years ago, about 33 schools were in that position. But still, some of those schools are not near where they need to be. So we are continuing to make the progress, and we know that the progress is going to continue because we're working really hard to change every single kid's trajectory for their lives. And so, yeah, academically, we're not where Clayton might be, or we might not be where Parkway might be. But in terms of growth, we have made the kind of growth that says to the state and says to the community, you're moving in the right direction, and we want to acknowledge that.
When we talk about those academic goals, what are we actually talking about? What are the goals? What are the objectives?
From an academic perspective, we want to see from a state's perspective that students are scoring what is called an advanced or proficient range, not just basic or below basic. There are four categories that the state looks at for assessment, and so we are pushing really hard to make sure that all of our students are at a proficient advanced level. And that's hard work to make that happen when many of our students are at below basic level. In terms of advanced placement courses, we want to make sure that more students are taking advanced placement courses or IB courses. We want to make sure more students are scoring. Our seniors who graduate are scoring at the state's average of 21 as opposed to 17 or 18. Those are just some of the kinds of things. We want to make sure that 90% of our students are coming to school 90% of the time, while we raise that number from about, I guess it was about 77% to 87%. We want to get, you know, closer to 90% or 95%. So it's those kinds of things that the state looks at, plus the things that we look at as well, making sure that students have more opportunities for college and career. So pushing those students to take career tech education courses, dual enrollment. While we have a large number of students taking dual enrollment right now, we need to increase that number. So those are the kinds of things that we're talking about. I could go on and on and on, but those are just some of the things that people kind of look at when they're looking to see if a district is doing well academically.
Well, the burden, obviously, then, is not only on the administrators and the teachers, but a lot of that is on the students themselves.
Oh, yeah, it is, but it's our responsibility to prepare them. It's our responsibility to make sure that they have the opportunity. So in some communities, in some communities, parents make that happen. In our communities, some of our parents make that happen. A majority of our parents work really hard, but they have other challenges that they have to deal with. So we have to make sure that there's no excuses. Even if it's not happening from a parental perspective or community perspective, we have to ask the right kind of questions and push kids in the right direction to make that occur. So if a parent doesn't fill out a FAFSA form for a kid to go to college, we have to make sure that we're assisting in setting up FAFSA workshops for parents to do that. In some communities, kids can get tutoring for the ACT. We have to make sure that we are providing that. We have college counselors as of this year in every single one of our high schools to make sure that kids get not just a regular counselor who's supporting them, but someone specifically targeted to help our juniors and seniors fill out applications and fill out FAFSA forms such that they can look at the opportunity to go to a community college or a four-year college. So I think what we've tried to do is make sure that where there are roadblocks, that we remove the roadblocks so that kids could be successful, and we don't make any excuses around that, irrespective of what kind of climate our kids live in or what kind of circumstances that they have to fight.
You know, you mentioned parents, and clearly that's an important yes. part of the whole dynamic. We did a program yesterday on the HomeWorks program.
Yes,
and one of the guests on the program said that an important part of this, restoration of accreditation, is a program like this because it gets the parents more involved, gets the kids more involved. Do you think that was overstating the case at all?
I think what's not overstating is that this has happened because there are a tremendous number of partners, HomeWorks being one, Big Brothers and Sisters being another, and that could go on and on and on. I hate to say one without saying the other one's Boy Scouts. But there are a number of different entities doing achievement that work with us to make this happen for kids. And we don't do this work in isolation. So, no, I don't think it's overstated. I think if you're saying HomeWorks in and of itself does this, no, that's not what I think you're saying. I think what you're saying is the partnerships that are created with groups like HomeWorks and Big Brothers really make a difference in terms of supporting our kids. And so when I talk about taking away the excuses, that's what happens. In other places, the partnerships may not need to be as intense. But in our communities, those partnerships must be intense. We must work closely with all of those entities who are providing those wraparound and support services for our kids and our families. It is vital. It is critical. We cannot do it without those partners, whether it's the RBCs or the City of Progress who will provide dollars for us to do certain kinds of things with kids. This doesn't happen in isolation. It's just impossible to make this work happen if we think we can do it in and of ourselves. It's overwhelming if we try to do it. And so, no, I don't. The long and short of the answer to your question is no. Not overstated that we need the partnerships, and the partnerships make a difference.
In the state, and looking at the system, does it look at things like this, or is that going a little too deep into the weeds for the things that they have to consider?
No, they don't look at those things. They look at the bottom line.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't provide the state a report that says how many partners I have. They know that they are partners, and they know that those partners are impactful. It is our responsibility to drive those partners around the data. So you can't just partner with us and say, hey, this is a nice partnership. The partnership has to push toward higher academic achievement for kids and higher attendance rate for kids and higher enrollment for kids who are getting ready for college and careers. So we hold our partners accountable for positive results in those, four or five or six areas. If our partners are not doing that, then we say that you're not a partner, because it's not about, what you think your program is. It's about how your program influences us in those four or five key areas that the state holds us accountable for.
So the state may not be looking at it, but you sure as heck are.
There is no ifs and buts about it. We are looking at it closely. And when partners are not able to do that, we tell them, thank you very much. But the data doesn't support that this partnership is positively impacting young people's lives in a way that we need to have them impacted.
We're talking with Dr. Kelvin Adams, who was the St. Louis school superintendent, and I was a very happy man this week, as are most people involved with the district, because full accreditation for that district has been restored by the state. Well, we'll come back and continue our conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to have you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. We'll take an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or a tweet at STL on air. Back with Dr. Kelvin Adams in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back as we continue our conversation with Dr. Kelvin Adams, the superintendent of schools in the city of St. Louis, and we're talking about the meaning of full accreditation having been restored to the district by the state of Missouri this week. Dr. Adams, what happens now with the SAB, the Special Administrative Board? It's going to be around for a while, I take it, or maybe not. Dr. Adams?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. The question is, what happens now with the Special Administrative Board? Does it stay around for a while, or is that going to be disbanded? How is that going to work?
Well, the Special Administrative Board, whether it's these three persons, obviously, you know, no appointments likely, not likely, can take place is around to 2019. The State Department of Education that provided the change in accreditation from provisional to full accreditation also is responsible for how long this entity stays in place. And for right now, as of a decision I think that was made over a year ago, this board is around to 2019. Some transition can take place. They determine basically what will occur, but they are around until 2019.
And what about the elected board? I mean, it is still viable. What happens with it during these next couple of years?
I think the DESE, the State Department of Education, the board has to determine that. I think that's, you know, totally in their purview to decide what will happen. There was some attempt 3 or 4 or 5 months ago to do some transition, and I think the state board decided to wait until after the election, I think in March or April, to determine what the next steps would be, since there would be a change in at least a possible change in at least three of the persons who were part of the board. So I think it's their decision to make, and the elected board still is around, and I meet with them on a regular basis, at least the president and the vice president, as I've done for the last, I want to say the last 8 years. Whoever the president was, I always try to make myself available on a monthly basis to meet with them.
Has it had an opportunity, that elected board, to have any real input in what's been going on?
No. Legally, the responsibility falls to the special administrative board, and so they are the legal entity responsible for decision-making in the Silver Spring Public School District at this time. My meeting with the elected board is just to provide information to them to answer any kind of questions or provide some clarity like I would do with any board or citizen in the community, a little bit more intimate, obviously, because they are concerned specifically about the district in a different kind of way, but out of respect to them, I meet with them and try to provide as much information as I can.
Well, as it happens, we have a member of that elected board on the line right now, wants to get into the conversation and also will be involved in the primary election here in St. Louis in March. That would be Bill Haas, who's an elected member of the board. Go ahead, Bill. What's your comment or question for
Don? Your questions have been great, so congratulations to you. I hesitated to call because I'd rather hear Dr. Adams talk than me talk, but I welcome the opportunity to make a couple points. Hello, Dr. Adams. You've always been a good friend to the elected board, and you always respond to my questions, and we talked recently about early childhood reading, as we often have. Dr. Adams, I welcome the opportunity to say Dr. Adams isn't the best superintendent in America. He's the best superintendent in history. And, you know, if the SAB only has done one good thing in their whole life, and I'm sort of a partisan of the elected board, hiring Dr. Adams made their legacy, because that was just the best choice we ever could have had, and he's resisted other offers to go elsewhere, and a steady relationship with a great superintendent is important. I'm most enthused about accreditation. It gives us a certain cachet, and it will hasten and make easier the transition back to an elected board. I think the elected board would have done better the last 2 years, last 10 years than the SAB, and we all believe in democracy, so I'm not objective, but I look forward to that day. And we can quibble about scores, but we should keep in mind that in the recent test, only 36% of our students were reading at ComArts grade level and 24% in math. So we have a long way to go. And we need more money for some things like early childhood education and the other things Dr. Adams mentioned. So I just hope that the next mayor of St. Louis, whoever that is, will work closely with the school district to find money for the things we need. And historically, that hasn't been done. But we all know that as goes the school, public school system, so goes the city. So we're in good hands with Dr. Adams, and he's a young man, and I hope he'll be there to till the day we're recognized as the best big city school district in America. So thanks again for your service, Dr. Adams.
Thank you for the call, Bill.
Thank you, Ms. Haas.
You're not going to quibble with him with some of the things that he says with regard to those scores. We've already talked about that. But
right.
he did say more money was needed. And, of course, that's always welcome. But you indicated earlier, if I read it right, that was not that big an issue.
Well, I think money can buy you some things, and I think money is important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not minimizing the fact that more dollars are needed for teacher raises and to make our buildings better. But I don't think money in and of itself is the solver of this. I think people have to be committed to the work in a way that that our kids deserve. And so, you know, I think the president, the CEO for Facebook gave $100 million to the New Jersey school district several years ago, and I don't think those dollars, independent reports said, made any difference at all. I think it's about the quality of people who are running the district and managing the district and caring about kids. And money can buy you some things, but money can't buy you a commitment to support young people. So, yeah, I think money is needed, but I think what's more needed is the right people in the right places to support kids.
I don't want to get you involved in a political discussion, and you may or may not want that. But I am curious as to what you're looking at with regard or how you're looking at an incoming national administration, and in particular with the selection of Mrs. DeVos as Education Secretary. Do you think that that's likely to have any significant impact here?
I think that's a really good question. I've been asked that before. And it's not a reservation. My only concern is unknown. And so I think the fact that, you know, we have a trifecta, if you will, a new president who has an agenda, a new governor who has an agenda, don't know anything about it, to be honest, if you haven't delved deep into the notion about education, and a new mayor who will be taking a seat in the next 4 months, all speaks to the fact of unknown. And so I don't have any specific, concern about the district other than we just need to understand what the rules are, and we'll play by the rules, and we will do our best to achieve the results that are best for kids in this community, irrespective of who's sitting in those seats. So the unknown is the only thing I think I'm concerned about, just not knowing. Once I know what the rules are, I think we can make the kind of adjustments we need to support our kids.
Well, apparently, among the things that are going to be discussed and looked at very closely will be issues concerning vouchers and charter schools and that sort of thing.
Yes, you're right. I think all of those things are on agenda, and all of those things are concerning without the details of what those things mean for us. And so once we understand the details of what those things may mean, then obviously we can make the kind of adjustments that we need to. Right now, we don't know. We just think and believe, based on the history of these persons who are being appointed or talked about, but we don't have any details. It's very easy to say, we want to do X, Y, Z. It's much harder to put those things in place. The implementation of an idea is a lot harder than just the idea by itself. And that's where we reside in terms of, as superintendents, having to finesse and make these things work. And then we will appropriately respond. You know, whether that's a positive response or negative response depends upon how these things might be implemented.
Do you have to put any of your plans on hold, perhaps, waiting to hear some of these details?
No, at this point in time, I'm not making any kind of adjustments on anything because I don't have anything to make adjustments on. We're going to continue doing what we're doing. Obviously, we are, concerned is, as I said, about the unknown, but it's not changing anything that we're going to do on, on the 21st after the president is put in place, or we didn't do anything different after the new governor was put in place. We're not going to do anything different after the new mayor is put in place. Once we know what the details are, then we'll respond from there.
Just one other area I want to touch base with you on. I think it's an important one. We talk about the unknowns. And one of the unknowns in our system here is what is going to be happening with these students who have transferred out of the district. It's been a big deal. It's been a lot of discussion about it. What are you thinking with regard to luring some of these kids back into the city district?
Well, I think what has happened is the VIC program is scheduled to go on for another 5 years after 2018, I think to the year 2023 or 24. And all it does is say siblings at that point in time will be able to continue to go to the county districts as they've done in the past. But no kid is going to be asked to come back to the district. It just won't allow new kids to get in who don't have siblings. And after 2003 or 2023 or 2024. So nobody's going to have to come back to the district who has left the district. They will continue to remain in their schools. I think the Riverview School District, Normandy School District, if Normandy gets accredited, that's the impact. But we were not part of that rule that's affecting Riverview right now.
This accreditation move this week, is that going to be helpful to you in filling the teacher vacancies that exist in the system? The figure I have in front of me here is 160 teacher vacancies.
That is correct. The last count we did right before the Christmas break, the winter break, was 160, 161. We're hopeful that it will. We hope that it will also impact families wanting to come back to the district as well. Again, it's kind of hard to determine what that really means. You know, I get emails from parents and stopped on the street from parents who are really pleased about what we're doing and in the classrooms with their kids. And I'm hoping that that will continue to be the kind of experience that families have in the school district. I'm hopeful. Yes, I think it will. But I also think that we are working with the union right now on an agreement, a financial agreement, for an extension of a contract. We hope that those dollars that we might put on the table or the agreement that we're able to reach will also impact some of that as well. I don't think it's just one thing that makes somebody want to come work in a school district. I think it's how they're treated. I think it's how we pay them. I think it's the status that they feel about the district as well. If they feel good about the district, they are much more likely to want to remain in the district. So I think, as I said, and I've said this publicly, it's not one program, it's not one person, it's not one principal, one central office person. It's really a multiple things happening together to make people feel good about the district. Accreditation is one of those things. And I think some persons will be linked to the district in a greater way, knowing that we are accredited.
Lots of work still ahead, isn't there?
Yes. Oh, yes, sir. No ifs and buts about it.
That's Kelvin Adams, Dr. Kelvin Adams, the superintendent of the St. Louis Public School District. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us. Again, congratulations to you and everyone involved in making this happen. As I said in the beginning, it is a big deal, and I think most people do realize that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Dr. Kelvin Adams. Coming up, journalist, author, and educator Farai Chardaya. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. We'll be right back.